And we are back. You are listening to Davins and On the Break. You were listening to Joe Brack, his song Slide. Number to call in, 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. We made it a short break so Joe would not be tempted to smoke. We're trying to keep Joe alive for just a few more weeks.
And this is now your new focus? To keep Joe alive?
Sure.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's my goal. I don't know why. It just
usually you focus on my demise.
Well, usually you deserve it.
You both have lofty goals this week.
Yeah, right.
You stop smoking, Devin wants to keep you alive.
I'll try to keep him accommodated on that.
What, you being alive?
Yeah,
why not? For once, don't disappoint me. You will, to spite me. I'll show him I'm going to off myself just to prove this prick wrong.
No. Not without a good blog, at least.
No, because my friend Lenore would have to give my eulogy, and she doesn't want to.
Oh, she gives the eulogy?
Oh, she gives my urology. Well, you could take turns.
You just said she'll give you your urology.
I go, you got to give my urology. I don't want to give you a urology.
Well, you know what? Lenore doesn't want
to
part of that.
So she gets to give it?
She gets to. You could help. You know what? If you want to co-host.
No, I don't want to be number two. Fuck you. I'm used to being number one.
No. Believe me, she'll have plenty of nasty things to say.
I know she will, but I think my track record speaks for itself.
Listen, it was ours.
I do it on a consistent basis in creative ways. Now, she's excellent. Don't get me wrong.
Because I've seen you two work in tandem and compliment each other. They'll rip me apart on Facebook and then compliment each other. He's an asshole, isn't he? Oh, he sure is.
High five, whining about it.
Wait a minute, you guys are ripping me up. Oh, but we did a good job, didn't we? High five.
Yeah, because you post something stupid and you think that's going to go unnoticed?
Not to you two.
Exactly.
It's like the cover.
If you don't want us to see it, give us the wife treatment and block us.
It's like it's like a hippo carcass that winds up in a river in Africa, and you just know the alligators are going to come in.
You know what?
Bloated and smelly, yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yum, 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 yeah.
That's probably your best simile ever.
Yeah, metaphor.
It's a metaphor. Like is with the metaphor?
Like, simile is, yes. Like is simile. You're right.
So it's a simile.
You're right. Sorry.
Best simile you've ever given, comparing yourself to a hippo carcass.
Awful.
Kudos, sir. I think you've really encapsulated what you truly are.
Hippo carcass. Well, that's mean.
Well, if you noticed, I was saying my personality is like Spot coming out of the
monster's den. No, I said that.
Yeah. And what is my little thing on Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Spot
coming out. But I said it. Look, I'm trying to steal my work. You can't insult you the way I can insult you, which just proves why I should give you urology. I made it into a Facebook avatar. Lenore has nothing that good. She's not. She just has comments. I've affected you, who you are, in your online persona. I think my resume speaks for itself, Joe.
Come on, Davin always throws your treats under the staircase.
No. You know, it's just a shame Joe's not well thought of enough in Long Island so they could never roast. Because they pretty much roasted every open micer at this point. And Joe's been around forever. And they never roast Joe, all these stupid Long Island comics.
They don't roast because they say I'm too nice.
They don't know you then.
They don't.
I'll tell you what. If they would do such a thing, I would have to be the last guy. I would have to be, because I would be the David Ross up on that bench.
Yeah, right.
Jeffrey Ross. I get my Jews confused.
David Ross.
Don't we all?
Accountant. Well, his taxes. You know, he had to take an income summary deduction on his thing.
My CPA humor, not as funny as you would think.
No.
By the way, yes. it is acceptable to call someone who is Jewish a Jew, yes? We were having a debate about this in my office.
Depends how you say it.
No, we'll say somebody is a Jew.
Well, but because they're not paying for something?
No, just saying that. Oh, and Rosh Hashanah, is he a Jew or not?
That's fine,
isn't it?
I guess.
I mean, how else would you put it in a derogatory way.
But how Jewish, it softens it up.
Or Jewish, all right.
Is that softened?
It's a little, ish kind of makes it, it's a little ishy. You know.
What does it mean like you're not completely a Jew? You're just Jewish.
I get the point. Jewish softens it up.
Because a Jew has been used in a derogatory way before.
Yeah. Okay, but it's...
But it's not really derogatory.
It's not. No. It's descriptive.
Unless, of course,
it's...
you're a Muslim, and then that's very derogatory.
Oh, no, no, no,
to call somebody
wrong.
A Jew. How dare you?
Yeah. Well, there are
give me your head. You won't be using it anymore.
There are two Christian women in my office, and I said somebody was a Jew, and they both looked at each other like I had said something offensive, and I'm like, it's Rosh Hashanah. It's not derogatory. It's a fact.
I think Jewish.
Jewish,
yeah.
That's the play? All right.
That reminds me of something, because I don't know why, but I was thinking of the Muslim thing.
Uh-huh.
So this person who I mentioned earlier who hates, it's Walt. You guys know Walt.
Oh, yeah.
Walt, who hates Derek Jeter, goes, you know, next year the Yankees are going to go to ISIS for the shortstop.
Oh.
I go. Well, I guess just don't ask him to play a doubleheader.
That's funny.
That's what I thought.
That's funny.
That's funny.
No, he goes too soon. I go, there's no such thing as too soon.
No, that's not too soon.
You own a comedy club, really? That's too soon? No, I don't think so.
But by the way, Tom is weighing in with my question. He says, as long as you don't add fucking before Jew, you're fine. Thank you, Tom.
Unless it's, I'd really like to be fucking that Jew.
Yeah, then totally acceptable in my office.
Absolutely. See, that makes it better when you put that in between fucking and
yeah,
you.
Fucking that Jew. I'd rather, yeah.
Things I've never heard. Anyway.
I'd rather be fucking that Jew.
All right. Should we do a little great debate in absurdity?
Woohoo!
What, did you just get the game-winning hit in your last at-bat? What was that?
No, that seemed to lean itself to the absurdity. Okay.
All right. Play this.
Our country has seen great debates in history. Lincoln Douglas, 1858. Nixon Kennedy, 1960. Bush Clinton and Perot in 1992. But that all stops now. Welcome to Davin's Den's Great Debates in Absurdity.
All right. So this week's what?
It's like you had to put up with that stinger. That was a good one. I liked it.
It's good.
Yeah,
you're
good.
Joe, you're always pleased with your work.
Yes.
So this week's great debate. You know, it's the end of baseball season, part of the beginning of postseason.
Yes. So, for some.
So there's two stories that appeared recently, and I thought this would be a great topic of debate. Both, well, one involves an overweight baseball player named Jesus Montero, mm-hmm. who is a former prospect for the New York Yankees. He's now with the Seattle Mariners. They actually traded him. He was the keystone of the deal that they got Michael Pineda, mm-hmm. the pitcher for the Yankees. But Jesus Montero was a catching prospect, thought highly of. He had a good rookie season. And then last year he hurt his knee, and he didn't really work out or anything. He came into the spring training this year,
right.
40 pounds overweight.
Oops.
A fatty boombaladdy, to say the least. And he played only 6 games with the major leagues team this year. He's been in the minor leagues the whole time. This is a highly thought of prospect and everything. So this story came out. It came in beginning of September. Jesus Montero was suspended for the rest of the 2014 season following an altercation with a club scout during a Class A game Thursday in Boise. Montero, who was there on a rehab assignment with Everett, was coaching first base when Mariners national cross-checker Butch Bacala. That just sounds like a fake name.
Yeah.
That sounds like Bacala. The Sopranos.
It sounds like a Dick Alvarado.
No, Butch Bacala is very Soprano.
Yeah,
Butch
yeah.
Bacala.
Yeah. Something like that Dick Alvarado would say to Mavis or something. Yeah. He's having problems with Butch Bacala.
It was Vinny Cazada.
I know. When Mariners national cross-checker, I don't even know what that means. Make sure everybody's wearing a crucifix. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. Cross-checker.
I don't know.
Editor?
Imagine it was a typo. Mariners national cross-dresser. Yeah.
Butch Bacala. Showed up in high heels of person and attitude.
Who are you wearing? I'm wearing Bacala.
National cross-checker Butch Bacala shouted at him, hustle off the field, according to the MLB.com report. They spelled MLB wrong.
No.
They put MILB. There's three what? Letters. How what? Do you fuck it up?
Men in Black? What
Joe, did you write this article?
MILB.
I just noticed that now. Anyway, Bacala then reportedly ordered an ice cream sandwich and had it sent to the dugout for Montero, who came to camp about 40 pounds overweight this past spring.
What an ice cream sandwich.
The 24-year-old grabbed a bat, headed for the stand in search of the scout, throwing the melting treat at Bacala and shouting obscenities before being restrained by pitching coach Nasuela Cabrera. Monday, the Mariners placed Montero on the suspended list, making on Zudenick's pledge Friday that the catcher would not play for the remainder of the 2014 season so he could focus on off-field issues. Bacala was sent home Friday, leaving the future with the organization unclear. So that is the Jesus Montero story. Mm-hmm. A snack sent him off.
Wait, is that still there, that sandwich?
It was melting, so I don't think so.
Oh, all right.
The other story. There is no booing or other negative behavior allowed at collegiate games in the NESCAC conference. Only positive reinforcements will be allowed at games from the fans. Only in New England. The NESCAC, New England Small Colleges Athletic Conference, is comprised of such schools as Williams, Amherst, Tufts, and Middlebury. According to the email, NESCAC coaches asked that the fans refrain from any action that could potentially be construed as negative or confrontational, including booing and holding up signs that could be interpreted as offensive in nature.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me set up the piece. And you're so the piece is, tonight, and we have two sides of the debate. The question is, what is the best way to unnerve that opposing overweight athlete? So Joe Curry will be arguing that sending treats, food, is the best way.
Oh, you didn't change the topic this week. Good. All right.
Joe will be arguing why women should be allowed to have birth control. I can go that route, Joe, if you'd like.
Uh-oh.
Joe will be arguing why...
I'll be under the bus with you, apparently.
Joe will be arguing why the best way to unnerve an overweight opposing athlete is by sending food. Pip will be arguing that the best way to unnerve an opposing athlete is by yelling, booing, and signs. Joe, if you would, your opening statement.
Okay. Bear with me one sec.
Sure you weren't prepared for this?
I most certainly was.
Then your shit should be in hand.
I didn't have it in order. It is in
order now. He threw his index cards up in the air. They fell on the ground.
He was going to argue about the budget. Like, damn it, we're getting that in this week.
The best way to unnerve a chubby athlete or any athlete is with snacks. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt you. Let's look at this. Sticks and stones, too much. Names, too little. But an ice cream sandwich, that'll screw your ass up. A word you could dismiss, but an ice cream sandwich? What better way to disarm someone? You're calling them fat and actually giving them something to entice them to get fatter. And something delicious as well. No word or sign can do that. A sign or a boo is fleeting. An athlete can't bring home a sign, but you stink. And any boo or chant is left at the ballpark. But nothing says remember me like a snack brought home, thrown at a fan. Bring it home. Nobody will turn down a ring ding, regardless if it was thrown in love or not.
All right. Pip. Your opening argument for why booing and signs is the best way to unnerve an overweight athlete.
Heckling is one of our God-given rights as Americans. It's our way to assert ourselves as the biggest dog in the yard. We start off learning this lesson as children, when black children begin working up all of their your mama jokes with dozens, and white children begin figuring out who in the neighborhood was the big fag and who was the retard. Consider it a public service to the kids who haven't figured out who they are yet. Let our peer group know who they are and how they displease us from the very early age, and don't let up until we're dead. I'm not saying that we're politically correct as children. As a matter of fact, being short, it was in our nature to hit below the belt. It remains our nature to this very day. Perhaps in the workplace or out in restaurants, we keep our heckling in check, which makes our blood pressure rise and our hair fall out. But in the wide open social arenas of sports and entertainment, it's every vicious man and woman for themselves. If you're a big fatty, one must expect to have candy bars and peanuts flung at them on the field. Just because you're no longer able to bend over and pick them up is none of our concern.
Well, that would kind of go to Joe's argument. I mean, if they could expect such things. Mm. Although maybe it goes to your argument. Because they should expect it. It shouldn't be offensive at all.
They should expect it. They should expect the yelling, and we should
But they could not expect having mean words said about them.
Oh, they absolutely should.
Mm. All right. So, a couple of questions. Pip, many an athlete says they can't really hear the crowd as they are so locked in. How would booing or mean signs overcome that overweight athlete's ability to lock in?
Oh, I think that there are other methods of making the athletes know that we aren't upset with their abilities or with their size. Or the misfortune of their sexual partners. I think as monkeys in the zoo, we must fling poo at those who offend us. And those who get poo deserve it. I say, dare I say it, they enjoy it. If you can't hold them a sign that they can see or yell loud enough, fling your poo.
So you're actually pro-fling.
I'm...
Doesn't that really concede to Joe who's flinging?
I would say it does.
I don't know that you would consider poo a treat.
If you're a fly.
is the team we're talking about the fly?
If they're a fly, the dinner bells is a ringing.
Are we talking about the Montana maggots? Is that the team we're flinging our poo at?
They had a shitty season. Huddle.
You just watch this season decay.
I think that, you know, they can hear us. They pretend that they can block it out, but they can hear us. And if that all else fails, fling your poo. A solid reflection of your verbal angst against them.
Joe, do you have anything to say to that argument?
Yes, flinging poo is like flinging something like a snack, in a way. I mean, I know that shit and
remember
chocolate...
Remember that.
I know shit and chocolate look the same, but taste radically different.
Well, hold on. I hate to interrupt.
What, you're gonna argue about that?
How do you know how much different they taste? How much shit have you tried?
Remember the Fat West Challenge?
We did not make him eat crap, although many a fan suggested it.
They dared us,
including
to.
Some close friends of Joe's.
Yeah, stupid Dennis. Asshole.
Yeah, we got some really good insight into his friends. Really good.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but go on, Joe.
But I would say that the physical act of throwing something, which poo, which would be misconstrued in some fly circles as food, would be the same way as throwing food. You're actually throwing physically something out there, and it totally negates the thing of showing a sign or a boo because you're throwing an object out there. An object is related to food. You're throwing food out there.
So you think it ups the game no matter what?
It ups the game.
Pip, your response to that?
I think it's... I don't think that it's wrong to remind people of their personal failings and physical shortcomings. No, it's what
we wouldn't have a show if we didn't.
That's right. What would we talk about for 3 hours? No, it's
you play two songs and say goodnight.
Some suggest that'd be a better show.
Thanks, Roger.
He doesn't even want you guys hitting play.
No, it's what makes us individuals. You have a big honking nose, revel in its beauty. Giant ass, we have an obligation to point it out. It used to be a bad thing now, but big booties are in. You think Kim Kardashian would even have a career if someone hadn't pointed out her giant ass early on? I think that we should fling our poo verbally, and it is good for everyone. Fatty, fatty, bo batty, I say.
Joe. It was a scout of the Seattle Mariners organization that was able to deliver the offending ice cream sandwich. How would the average fan be able to pull off such an attempt to rattle the overweight athlete?
Because you go to a game, they have a food court there. Food court, tremendous amount of treats to get. Do a little research. Find out the treat that your fat athlete loves. Chances are, right? Chances are, with the way food courts are, now they have a variety of things that you could also bring and throw at them. Also, if I may add, there are some sports where you have to be quiet. You can't boo, showing a sign, bad taste. Let's take a look at golf, okay?
Hold on. It's to answer the question. Are you done with that answer?
I gave the answer to that question. I was going to add to another topic.
Well, don't go to another topic. I'm the one moderating. We don't need you going to another
no,
topic.
No, okay.
But, I'm going to let you refute that, if you will, and then I have a question for Joe as far as that.
Well, I don't know that we were going to golf. I mean, Happy Gilmore wasn't part of the question, and certainly that we enjoyed in our examples.
No, but Joe was talking about the access of being able to fling treats.
Oh, I think that anybody who's properly motivated is going to be able to come up with a sign and show it to their athletes. I mean, rip those seat covers off, flip them over, get a Sharpie, write something offensive. And you obviously have, you know, giveaways at some stadiums. You know, take the stadium giveaway, you know, make a picture of their mother, hold it up, you know. If you have your bobbleheads, put them in bad sexual positions and call them team members. You know, just let them know that you are not going to take this sitting down, especially not if you have ripped up your seat to be able to draw the sign.
More effective than that, that's something, a sign or a taunt that the athletes are trained to disregard in a professional manner. It is tough to disregard something in a professional manner when it's tasty, you love it, and it just rolled up to your feet from the stands.
But now, Joe, I would argue that if you throw an object, no matter how delicious it may be, you're going to get kicked out of the venue. So, I mean, it's really you get one off and that's it, and then you spend a night in the jail.
Not if you're discreet about it.
I've never seen anybody who's hurled food or batteries or anything or poo, as the case may be, onto a ball field be discreet about it, because people usually go, that's the asshole.
And that's their poo.
Exactly.
I'm that asshole.
So, I mean, aren't you really raising the stakes beyond – displeasure. When
But if you feel that way and in that much of a way to show your athlete your displeasure with their physical looking, what you would do is you would strategically move yourself to different parts of the stadium. And so you would go in one section and throw a ring ding. You'd move to 23A, maybe throw some Cheetos.
But you can't. But if you go too far away, you might not get the target of the fat athlete. You might hit the skinny shortstop, and then it's all lost.
Maybe he's too skinny and needs to fatten himself up.
But you're heckling the wrong man. You're not heckling the person who's the object of your scorn.
Well, you might have to have the. You might want to strategize. You got to see. You got to look at the scorecard. You got to look at the lineup. You have to look at the lineup and plan out who's going to be where in what inning and study that. That's part of the beauty of the game. And when you find the beauty of the
game within the game.
The game within the game. And as you match up the game, you figure out where you can move to and start throwing your treats to show your displeasure with them and move around. It's a game within a game. Well, you could just sit there with a sign that's boring. How boring is that? You stink. All right. We get it. You stink. But the strategy of moving around a modern ballpark, throwing treats at the fat bastard that displeases you is ingenious and is a way that shows American ingenuity. And baseball is the great American pastime. And what better way with American pastime is great American ingenuity? I say to you, be a proud American and show ingenuity and do not show a sign or do not heckle, but throw food proudly because we are a bountiful country, and not to throw food at your fat overweight athlete is a disrespect to America.
What happens if you throw like a girl and can't reach?
Now you got problems.
So then the sign.
Well, if you can't throw a ball, you can't hold a sign. And then instead,
sure you can.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's the person that can't throw.
You hold a sign like a girl.
You throw like a girl.
Marry me, fatty.
The chances are you're going to hold up a little shit sign and go, "You stink," instead of a big "You stink." So you learn and you practice and you practice like the athlete did before he became a fat bastard. And
you raise your game to scold the athlete who has not raised his
game.
That
is right.
Okay.
You meet them.
Joe, with mean signs and booing, there really can be no mistake in intent. Is there a danger that an overweight athlete may think that you are showing your support of him by supplying a tasty treat?
It could be. Maybe.
So then the message is lost.
But that's with research. Let's take the ice cream sandwich, okay?
Obviously, don't tell me. Tell all the people listening out here, Joe.
Ice cream sandwich. Obviously, that athlete picked up that the ice cream sandwich was thrown in to show that he was a fat slob. Okay? Now, if you are a fat slob and you're getting it in the press, you will know when a treat rolls out to you that it has been thrown in disgust.
Pip, what do you have to counter with that?
I think that I have to go back to Joe's original point just a moment ago where you said that you have to use American ingenuity and you have to practice so that your taunts at the athlete that displeases you is seen. I think that entire...
Your taunts are seen?
Are seen, yes. Seen and heard.
Ah, heard. That's what that's the action we were looking for.
And heard.
Don't you look at me like I'm going to help with her point. No. You figure it out, stupid. Yeah.
Not only do you have to...
You're not going to get points by calling me stupid.
Just like there are the bleacher creatures, there are entire sections that can devote themselves to showing how displeased they are with the athlete. For example, instead of wearing your colors to the game, everyone should wear the traditional gray, which is the color of displeasure, especially when everyone in your section goes into the traditional elephant shape and starts trumpeting at the athlete that you dislike. Or you can rearrange that and be any other sort of large mammal that indicates giant and fat. Hippo. The hippo section displayed at the athlete. And whatever noise hippos
Joe,
make.
Joe, you want to... Counter that?
The undertaking of that is a lot. You'd have to get a choreography, which might not be that much time.
Paul Abdul is not
well, yeah,
do.
But I mean, there was a lot of work going into your efforts
I understand that, but however, basically throwing food is done with more of an economic scale and more of less people to do it.
You can get a couple of people to do
all
this.
Right, you don't get a chance.
Oh, I don't.
No,
I don't.
No. All right. Pip, what do you say to the critics who say that booing may upset the unintended target, but innocent children will be subjected to foul language?
Well, I don't think that booing is a very foul language at all. I mean, unless...
Right, but it's going to... If you're really going to get underneath the fat athlete, you're going to have to raise the game from a mere boo. You're going to have to say, you know...
Moo!
You could moo.
I don't think that you can get your point across any better.
Of course, you're playing the Chicago Bulls. They just think it's their female version of the team.
And then they all charge the stadium because with a running desire to mate with everybody who's making that sound.
Right.
It becomes a melee. I don't think that you have to say anything that is exactly a four-letter word. You can make your displeasure known and not upset any of the children. Mooing is very effective. You don't have to say, fuck you, big fatty. You can say,
I guess you can't.
You can't.
Joe, I don't think
you can't.
I don't think you have to rebut. I think she just did it her own thing.
We rest our case, Your Honor.
Did you say butt? That was the opposite of Tourette's right there.
Yeah. Question to both of you. We'll ask Joe first. Are the actions you advocate mean and contributing to an increasingly hostile and uncivilized society?
I would think that it would contribute to a society that shows care towards the athlete. That shows care
love.
Toward the tough love. Huh. Tough love. Take this and eat it and think about what you're doing in front of the whole stadium.
So you're shaming.
It's shame. It's tough love.
And that's for a good society, an American society, which you talk about, should be a society filled with shame.
Yes.
We should all be ashamed.
The country was built on shame, my friend.
Well, you know, many say Obama's ashamed to be an American, so he must be your favorite president.
Oh, my God.
Say it, Joe. Say Obama's your favorite president.
Not at gunpoint.
but he's ashamed, and that's what you're advocating.
Yeah, he's ashamed of everything.
Once again, during this debate, Joe's got all turned around on this shit. What would you say?
I would say that goes back to my original point. Everybody's not a stupid special snowflake in this country, and we have to let them know. We have to let them know verbally. We have to let them know written. We have to let them express it to them in every way possible so they up their game. They have
Well, every way possible would seem to include throwing treats.
No. I think that would just make them go backwards into their fatty bo blatty ways. I think that you have to let them
So
know.
You're enabling. Joe's way is enabling.
I think it absolutely is enabling. Don't throw treats at them.
So Joe's way is actually increasing the increasing rate of obesity in this country, is what you're saying.
I think that Joe
By making snacks readily available.
I think Joe was the personal cause for that.
Many would argue with you that you're correct.
I don't think it's enabling. If I may rebut.
Sure, rebut.
I would not call it enabling. I would say it was pointing out in front of the public, the disgrace that this athlete is showing amongst himself, where he needs to look at the treat, he needs to demonstrate in front of all the fans that a treat has been thrown with him to him, and he will resist the temptation in front of the public to eat a treat and to turn his way and to turn away and turn a new leaf. It is engaging the athlete to show fans that have come to the ballpark, to come to the playing field, to come to the stadium, to see him face his demons and turn away from a demon. You cannot turn away from a taunt. You cannot look away from a sign. But to see a yodel roll up to your feet and look at the yodel and look at that little boy in 23E and look at him and go, I'm your hero, son, and I will not eat this yodel, and I will go back to a way of health. And being your hero is a way to go.
So,
it is not shame.
So you, the one who throws food at the fatty, is actually enabling the object of your scorn to prove himself in front of everybody that he can be a role model. You're presenting opportunity.
That is right. That is like giving an alcoholic a drink and letting that alcoholic say, no, I will not drink, and I will turn my life around.
But most people say you shouldn't give an alcoholic a drink.
I'm not most people.
Well, you can say that again. underscore.
Right. All right, Joe. Great debates of absurdity.
Well,
Joe, what is your food item of choice to send to an opposing fatty?
It would be the classic treat, the ring ding.
The ring ding.
I'll give you an example. Let's say
we know what a ring ding is.
I understand that, but if I may give an example on a way a ring ding can be used.
Okay.
I didn't know there was multiple ways.
I'm really afraid. There is. Really afraid now.
Let's take hockey.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And not only if you're showing displeasure with one athlete, but maybe your team. Islanders. And you're sitting there. You could take ring dings and throw five out onto the ice, and nobody's going to know what the puck is, and nobody's going to know what the treat is. You could disrupt the whole game.
Yeah, but aren't you losing the point of the taunt if nobody knows what you're doing?
I'm showing the point of the taunt where they really should keep the rye and the prize and not the snack.
But the snack is the prize.
But no, the puck is the prize, and the puck to score is the prize.
Ring things are irresistible. I don't know if that's the prize.
But an athlete should show self-control. And showing self-control from a ring ding and concentrating on a puck shows skill and shows professionalism.
Once again, Joe presenting opportunity. Pip! What? 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 Doing a professional debate here.
I understand. That's what kills me.
If I only would have known that years ago, I could have saved myself a lot of grief. We would have done this shit 15 years ago, this bit.
Stop, you're trying to keep me alive, you dumbbell.
Well, after hearing this debate, I'm not so sure. Pip.
Quiet now, we're being very professional.
Sure.
Quiet, quiet.
What is your chant of choice to yell at an opposing fatty? Yeah, laughing is stalling.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. I think a stadium full of the sound of moo. There's nothing that brings people to their feet.
But moo sounds like boo.
No, you have to really ooh.
Yeah, but people are usually drunk. It's hard for them. They go, mmm.
Well, you know what?
I mean, they've actually had other athletes that like Al Toon with the Jets. They would say, Toon. Or Lou Piniella with the Yankees, Lou. So people don't always know.
Oh, no. They'll know. The fatty that's out out on the field that's grazing, they'll know that that's meant
except
for them.
If it's a hockey player, his tongue's going to stick to the ice. Chip his teeth.
He's just getting pelted.
He won't go to the
mold.
Team that plays in a dome because there's no place to graze. It's all artificial grass.
He's just getting pelted by stuff because he's stuck to the ice.
Ring dings are hitting him in the back of the head. It's a team effort.
Tongue stuck to the ice while he's trying to squiggle it around and get at that ding dong.
So your taunt of chant is the classic.
I think the classic,
boo, the one that goes back to medieval times.
I think the classic moo.
Back when the Christians would occasionally beat the lions, when they would boo.
Then it was roar.
So the lions weren't always winning, Tom. So you go to boo. You go to moo.
I think absolutely. If the object of non-affection is they're a big cow, then you absolutely have to go with the moo. It's the language they understand.
Okay. Pip, do you have a closing statement?
I think in closing, I have to say that this country has become a whole bunch of pansies where everyone is being mollycoddled and being told that they're the special snowflake and that there's nothing that they can't do. Yes, there's a lot of things that you can't do. You can't bend over and tie your shoelaces anymore. Fatty, eat some salad, and we're going to hold up signs until you do.
Joe, anything you'd like to close with, add to the conversation that you did not get a chance to get out?
I would just say that adding...
What, no golf reference?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank God. I hate that we would miss that.
I would say in golf, golf is very important because in golf, it's a very quiet game. You can't really be distracting in golf, but with food, I mean, look at golfer with Phil Mickelson or John Daly.
What was that right there?
Phil Mickelson.
Okay, it sounded like there was a cock in your mouth.
No,
you're
Phil Mickelson, because Mickelson sounds like there's a, yeah, trying to read a word.
Get that ring ding out of your mouth and do
John
the bit.
You can, you know, I mean, just for that in a game of golf, you could show your displeasure with silence. You can drape sausages and cheeses over the golf flag.
What?
Yes.
What?
How are you going to get access to the golf bag?
You dress like a caddy, a very smart caddy.
Bad plan.
One of them is about to take an important punt. How distracting would it be when they see you pull a Twinkie out of the corner of their eye? That'll be more than any yell or any taunt. How frustrating would it be to them when they couldn't get a hole in one because a crumb cake was stuck in the cup? This, my fellow Americans.
Fellow Americans?
Fellow Americans.
Joe, are you eating a ring ding?
No, you got to understand. I've been talking since 7:30 this morning. Drove 2 hours up in rush hour traffic and have been on the hour now.
I'm sure the people that would listen to that this morning weren't happy either. Go on.
Okay.
Coffee cakes. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Coffee cakes. But this.
In your hole.
Yes. Is a way to show in a subtle, classful way displeasure with athletes that need to do better. Thank you for your time, America. I'm Joe Curry.
Somebody has to be.
God bless America.
I thought it was God shame America.
God bless.
I thought this was a nation built on shame.
Shame. Shame.
Well, there you have it, folks. You guys can decide for yourself the next time you see your Bartolo Colons, your David Wells, your any offensive lineman.
Anybody named after a refrigerator and a kitchen appliance.
Exactly. Next time you see a fat athlete not doing a good job, chances are I'll be a Met or a Jet. You can decide what is the best way for you, America, to voice your displeasure, whether it be a simple moo or going and throwing a ring ding. It's your duty, America.
It's your duty
to make your displeasure known. Good night, America. No. All right. Well, there you go. That was that.
Nice way to close the bit, Mr. Host.
That was that.
That was that, and this is this.
He wakes his crowd. He's a lot.
What
Jesus.
A segue.
Yeah. That's, so we take a, what am I looking for? That's what I'm looking for. Looking
knows.
For a way out. All right. Should we go to the scammer stuff? Do some scammer stuff? Take our break and do some scammer stuff?
Sure.
When we come back?
Yep.
All right. Let's do that. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Unique and different by incorporating guest past and present experiences, The Kerry Edelman Show interviews, explores, and delves into the lives of some of the most fascinating and interesting musicians, comedians, and writers in the entertainment industry today. Check out our show live Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To listen live or check out past shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/Kerry Edelman. The Watson & Watson Show was born from a labor of love, or should we say constant disagreement. Judy and Johnny Watson, a.k.a. mother and son, are constantly battling each other on different issues of life, from politics to sports to proper parenting, or in Italian family terms, discussing passionately about it. If you like a radio show that is entertaining, funny, passionate, and you can have basically the whole family enjoy it, tune on in. You won't be disappointed. If anything, after listening to these two, you'll realize your family isn't that bad after all. Every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on WatsonandWatson.com.